I'm a little bit surprised. Is there anyone who can testify that they did receive that email?
I think it was 2 days ago, huh? Oh,
yeah.
2 days ago. Maybe
it was on Sunday you sent it?
Yesterday. So, Rabosai, what we want to talk today in terms of halacha for Parshas Truma is a Yerushalmi that derives a halacha from Parshas Truma that's not very well known, and it's really brought down in the poskim over the course of time, but most recently in contemporary literature. The Torah tells us, which is the first source on your page, Arboim Adnei Kesef Tase Tachas Esrim HaKoresh. And we're talking about the Kroshim of the Mishkan, and the Torah specifies exactly where the Kroshim shall be placed. And in Pasuk Chaf, Uletzela Mishkan Ashenish Lifas Sofon Esrim Koresh. Then it goes on to tell you Arboim Adoneim. But the most important pasuk here for our purposes, if you could fast forward to pasuk Lamed, the Hakemosa es Hamishkan Kim Mishpato Asher Hereisa Bahar. Now we know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a vision when Moshe was up on the mountain of the Mishkan. And Moshe was meant to follow those instructions. And therefore the Torah could have said, and I'm going to sort of rewrite the pasuk, Vake Moses HaMishkan Asher Hereisa Bahar. Why does the Torah add the word Kim Mishpato? And the word Kim Mishpato has a very heavy meaning to it. In justice, in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, if, let's say, you violate my rights, I can sue you in a court for mishpat. Here, the word mishpat seems to be, first of all, superfluous, and secondly, totally out of context, out of place. But in any event, the Yerushalmi, in Masechtas Shabbos, which is the second source on your page, talks about Meleches Ksiva, which is listed in the Mishnah as one of the 39 Melechos, and in each case the Sugya wants to know where was this Melecha done in the Mishkan. So where was Ksiva done in the Mishkan? So the Mishnah records Shekein Hayu Kosvin Al Karshe HaMishkan Leda Eze Ben Zugo. And the Bar Tanura says that why would they write mark on each one of the Karshei HaMishkan? Why was it so important? So he says that it was a simon. Shayu Osim the Karshei HaMishkan. Why? Because the Mishkan, of course, was dismantled and re-erected. Shalo Yachlifu Seder HaKroshim. That the Kroshim should each be placed exactly where they were before. What does that remind you of, by the way, in our context? David?
Building a sukkah.
A sukkah, like when you build a sukkah, you know. Year in and year out, you know, you have the kroshim located in the same place because you write, you know, whatever your minig is, you know, some that write an olive based gimel, some write northeast, northwest, whatever you write. And this is all embellished by the Yerushalmi, which you'll see as the third source on your page. I'm just spreading out a little bit here on the table so that I can read the sources. And the Yerushalmi is going to teach us that all this comes from our parsha, that this entire kpeda on where things should be located, because we want to be consistent, it's all derived from the Mishkan. And the language is the following. This you'll see in the, you know, the Yerushalmi begins on page Samach Tes Amid Aleph, and then it goes on to Samach Tes Amid Beis. And if you look at the part on Samach Tes Amid Beis, that's the part I wanted to call to your attention. Why are they so careful about writing on each keresh where it's going to be placed? Chash Shema Yachlif. Because they're afraid, otherwise, if they weren't careful about this, it would be relocated in a different spot. And then Rav Ami explains that the source for this is the pasuk that we just saw in Shmos Chavav pasuk Lamed Vaki Mosa Es HaMishkan Kimishpato. So Rav Ami asks the question, V'chiyesh mishpat li'etzim? You know, we're talking about wood, wooden beams, and you're talking about a mishpat, like as if to say, the etzim have rights, and we have to protect those rights. And that's exactly what the Torah is telling us, that the etzim have rights, if you will.
Rights.
It's almost as if an inanimate object has possessions. It possesses something. Ezu keresh zochal inase b'tzafon, a particular keresh merited. Again, you know, these are words we usually use for human beings, not for inanimate objects. Was zoche to be in the tzafon? You know, as we go along, we'll try to figure out why the tzafon is such a superior location. Is he nase b'tzafon? That's exactly its home. You know, it's sort of like the concept of being Kona Makom. That this Keresh was Kona Makom B'tzafa. And we have to defend that and protect that in the law, in the Mishpah. And Badorom, you know, same Badorom. There's also a Mila to be in the Dorom. Again, the Lo Yeh Zeh, Shavik Zeh. You know, each area has its own Mila. If you take a look at the Pnei Moshe,
Is that the issue? Or was it that...
I'm just reading to you, right now, Joe, I'm just reading to you what I saw. Hold your questions and then we'll see if there's any other way of going. But again, the language here is Keresh Zocha Batzofon, you're not saying Batzofon. Keresh Zocha Batzofon, you're not saying Batzofon. That's Kimishpato. If you take a look at Pnei Moshe, he's interested in the Drasha, per se. Ksiv. It says the word mishpat kimishpato v'chiyesh mishpat li'etzim havi l'michtav kasher hareis avahar. Well, kasher hareis avahar would be sufficient. El lamdecha shetishmar mishpat siduron harishon v'zeh akeresh shezochel yinosim etzofia. Fine. Then he repeats himself. Now, what I wanted to point out to you is the Bikurei Yaakov. So if you can fast forward for a moment to page 3.
The one that says like 3 on top of it?
Yeah, I mean, when I say numbers, I mean what it says on top. Again, when I email you, I have to fast forward it by 2 pages because the first, the page 1 is really the 3rd page. Again, I try to do it in the clearest way I can, but if there's any confusion, I don't take all the responsibility for it. But in any event, if you look at the second, let's say 2/3 down in page 3, you'll see the Bikurei Yaakov. Now, let me just tell you who the Bikurei Yaakov was, if you're interested, because I'm a gigantic fan of the Bikurei Yaakov. His name was Ettlinger, and he's more famous for another work that he authored called the Aruch Laner, which is an absolutely brilliant work. I would put it almost that, in terms of brilliance, I'd put it up there with Rabbi Kivager, and I'm not exaggerating. He was an FFB. I don't want you to get the wrong impression, but when he was in the year, 1820, that's a good century and change before the Nazis came to power. He was studying philosophy in the university in Germany, and he had to leave the university because of anti-Semitism. So let's not assume that anti-Semitism is a new phenomenon in Germany. Be that as it may, he was the Rebbe of Reb Shimshon Fel Hirsch.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is really, what he did was sort of like paved the way for what they call Torah in Derech Eretz. So you may or may not know this, as Chatoy Ani Mazker, I also studied philosophy. So I didn't have to leave the university because of anti-Semitism, Baruch Hashem. I got my master's degree. But be that as it may, I have a certain identification with this man, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, because his chidushim are just unbelievable. He had such an analytic mind.
But be that as it,
what do you say?
I have to stop right there. What university did you get your master's in philosophy?
The New School, it's called.
New School.
New School, NEW.
Where is that?
On Fifth Avenue. And Fifth Avenue and 15th Street. It's what they call Greenwich Village, if you ever heard of it.
Very Greenwich Village.
If you're not a hippie, maybe you never heard of it.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's impressive.
Yeah, the New School.
I mean, not that your Torah knowledge is impressive.
So in any event, the Bikurei Yaakov, who lived, as I said, at the beginning of the 1800s, he quotes the Maharil. The Maharil lived about 3.5 centuries ago and is considered amongst Ashkenazim one of the pillars of Psak, especially in Aruch Chaim. And the Maharil says that they were Gedolim before him, so we're really going back a whole bunch of centuries, who were very careful to be Mesamein Mechitzos HaSukkah, to designate with signs on each one of the boards of his Sukkah, Kedei Liro Seder Amidosam Shal Yishana Mishana Mishana. And again, you and I might say, like, who cares? It seems like such an insignificant detail. But V'cheinu B'Yushalmi, Vakimosa es hamishkan kimishpato, and he goes and he quotes the Yushalmi that we just saw from Perek HaBoneh, and he writes the Bikurei Yaakov poskim lo hevi'u. He says that you don't find that the poskim quote this Maharil in the later Sfarim, and people are not so makpid about it. But yet he says that if you take a look in Hilchas Tzitzis, the Magen Avraham in Simon Ches, in the name of the Shalom, says that we wear an Ateret on our Torah on our talis in order to know which tzitzis are up front and which tzitzis on the back. Because you cannot change and take off the tzitzis from the front, put them in the back, and vice versa. Now it could be, says the Bikurei Yaakov, that the reason why we're not makpid about this is because the Arizal was not makpid. And here this is interesting in the history of Halacha, how much power the Arizal has, that all these halachos about where to place the boards of your sukkah, where to place the tzitzios, are not so, shall I say, earth-shattering, and the poskim don't even quote them because of the Arizal. And the Bikurei Yaakov wants to answer, why is it that the Arizal wasn't makpid about this? After all, it is Yerushalmi. He says, Lefi ani esdaiti nireh, eino dome klala Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is talking about a very specific case that applies to the Mishkan. The Sham, litzafon yesh kedusha yoser. In the Mishkan, the north has greater Kedusha. And why is that so? So this we should know from Karbanos that we recite every morning, the Mishnayis and Zvachim. Kodshei Kodshim Nishchatim B'Tzafon. The holiest of all Kodshim are slaughtered in the Tzafon. Not only that, the Gemara Menachos tells us that the Shulchan was B'Tzafon. On the other hand, the Dorom also has its claim to fame. The menorah was in the Dorom. And that's why, by the way, as you know, we in the Beis HaKnesses, we always light the Chanukiah, the Ner Chanukah in the Dorom, right? Zechel of Mikdash. Lachain ain morida mikdusha. It's not just haphazard that you know, okay, today it's here, tomorrow it's there. What difference does it make? He says in Tzitzis it really makes no difference. In Sukkah it makes no difference. There's no separate, you know, Kedusha to the north of the Sukkah or to the part of the Tzitzis that come closer to the head or in front. Is Ein Kedusha Liachas Yosef Mecharita? There's one uniform Kedusha. Is Ein Makpidin with Samein? We don't have to designate it to make sure that we don't change it. However, with regard to the Krushim in the Migdash, there is Halach of Ein Moridin Mi Mikdusha. So Rabbosai, let me just make two comments on this Bikurei Yaakov. On the one hand, the Bikurei Yaakov, in a certain sense, comforts me, because I never saw anyone being makpid for these halachas. Although, again, you may want to be makpid for other reasons. Let's say, you know, there may be aesthetic reasons why, you know, these boards of the sukkah go here and these boards there. I don't know. But as far as pure halacha is concerned, you know, yesh makom lechalik between the Mishkan and these cases. But I'll tell you what I'm not happy about. And here I think the Bikurei Yaakov left me a little bit hanging, you know, hanging in midair. He says that to take a keresh that was designated for the Tzafon, where they shechted the Kodshi Kodshim, and relocate it in the Dorom would be a violation of the principle of Mailim B'Kodesh. Right? That was the language of the Bikurei Yaakov. I'll read it to you once more. He says, "Letzafon yesh lo kedusha Yosef," blah blah blah, and then he says, "Lachain, if you take it from there, then there ain't morida mikedusha." Now the truth is that the principle of Mailim B'Kodesh, the ain morida B'Kodesh, is explicit in the Gemara, in the Bavli, and it's derived from many, many different sources. If we have a chance, maybe we'll mention some of them. And indeed, it underlies the Shita of Beis Hillel in Ner Chanukah. I'm just giving you one example, but there are many examples of Mailim B'Kodesh, the Ein Moridim B'Kodesh. And therefore, the question that I want to raise is, why is the Yushalmi making a big deal? You know, imagine if you had, you know, you were a sculptor and, you know, you get together, you have an exhibit, and, oh, I want to show you this new sculpture that I just created, right? What's the big deal in the Yushalmi? You know, the Yushalmi is discovering something that we don't know? It's all Mailim B'Kodesh. So what the Bikurei Yaakov doesn't do for me is indicate to me what is this new halacha here of Keresh Shahayev Tzafon has to remain in the Tzafon. Go ahead, John.
Is it possible that in the cases which we have otherwise,
right,
there's not something else which is taking its place that's being Mailim B'Kodesh? That's always in a situation with one thing in of itself. You cannot bring that down from where it was. An aura and money for this or that. Here, one being's going to take the other one. So this one's Meridian, the other one's going to be being Malim. It's not really like...
You mean it's like a trade-off, you know. Yeah, but I'll tell you the truth.
That's the chiddush.
The halacha of Ein Moridim B'Kodesh is a halacha in and of itself. Meaning, we don't make trade-offs. If we have something that has Kedusha, and that's the way the Bikurei Yaakov understood Tzafon, then you cannot be morid that. You know, you want to be matirid for some extraneous reason, I don't know.
No, but, I'm saying that's the chiddush. Maybe that's the chiddush.
Can make the switch?
You cannot make the switch, even though really it's...
Okay, maybe you're right, but again, even if I didn't have this Yerushalmi, I think I don't want to be obstinate about this, but I think I would still insist that ein moridim b'kodesh. In any event, I just want to show you something very interesting, and that is, if you go back to the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi tells us a story about the family of Rav Hoshaya. Now, the Nasi used to come visit, and different groups of family units used to go out to, how would I say, welcome the Nasi, right? Lekabelis Panav. And Yerushalmi tells us about two particular groups. One was the family of Rav Hoshaya, and the other was the family of Rabbi Pazi. Rav Hoshaya's family came first, and then Rabbi Pazi. And Yerushalmi tells us that even after the family of Rav Pazi married into the family of the Nasi, and therefore they felt, well, as family members, we should go first, the Yerushalmi says, Lo shinu es haseder. They didn't make any change. And the reason for that is because Rav Hoshaya had, shall I say, a chazaka, if I could use that term, of coming first. If you take a look at the Pnei Moshe, which is on the bottom right, in the same source on page 1, the Yerushalmi, he says, L'meidim anu mikan she'ein l'shanos ha-seder, we don't change the seder. Who became on Shezotza Mishpacha Rishona, that's the Mishpacha Rav Hoshaya, Lahakdim B'Knisa, they would be the first to be Machnis the Nasi, is Ein Dochenosa the Minag Sidura. We're not going to change that Minhag. And this is all in the context of Vakimosa Es HaMishkan Kimishpato. So it's very fascinating. If you take a look at the Karban Ha'ed on the left side of your page, he says that after they was hischatnu in a Nasi, they get married into the Nasi family, that's Rav Pazi, is Hoel Vahani to Rav Hoshaya Mitchila, they came first, is Malosim Hoysalafish hischatnu bin Nasi Nichnasu Tchila Viata Rotzel Chalkom. Is we won't allow them, even though that now they're family members, you know, get the VIP service, we are not going to undo and undermine that Seder that came first. Now, if you want to just, I'm not going to do this for you now, but if you have time, and you want to go through Yerushalmi inside, and, yeah, I don't know if there's an art scroll on Masech to Shabbos. Is the art scroll complete on Yerushalmi? I don't know. I never even opened one. But if you don't have access to an art scroll Yerushalmi, there's something called the Yedid Nefesh, and it's only printed in certain editions, but he has it printed here, and he gives you like a line-by-line modern Hebrew translation of the Yerushalmi. So you'll take a look, and you'll see that the Mishpacha of Bar Pazi, they married into the Nasi, and they therefore wanted to go in first. And this question came up in front of Rabbi Ami, and the same Rabbi Ami who paskined that the Keresh has to be in the Tzafon, based on the Pasuk in our Parsha, paskined that the B'nai Mishpachas of Oshia still has the right to go first. Kein Yishor Adover Lo Tered Mikvoda. That's exactly how it's going to remain. Now, this is all important because of the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma you'll see on the bottom of your page 2. And the Meshech Chochma notices, so try to keep page 1 open while you're looking at page 2. And he notices that there's a discrepancy between Parshas Truma and Parshas Vayakel. So what we have in front of us on the top of page 1 is Parshas Truma, and there it says Adnei Kesef. Correct? In Pasuk Yutes it says Adnei Kesef. And that's as far as the crushing beside Durham are concerned. And then in Parshas Vayakel, which is somewhere here, but I don't find it right this second. All right, I'm not finding it right this second. I apologize for that. It says that the crushing beside Tzafon are called Adneihem Kesef. So again, when you talk about the Adonim Mitzad Darom, it says Adnei Kesef. Adnei Kesef. When it talks about the Krush Mitzad Tzafon, it says Adoneihem Kesef. Adneihem Kesef. And the Meshech Chachma is going to make a big deal about this. Even though he's short in his words, he writes, Yitachin, perhaps we can explain the word Adneihem. The Omer B'Yushalmi, Keresh Sezochel Yinosim B'Tzofon, is Yinosim B'Tzofon. Roim Ono D'Tzofon Kadosh Yosef Midoro. And this we saw already in the Bikurei Yaakov before. He says, Ha'adonim shayu l'tzofon muchrochim lios b'tzofon ve'ein rashayim l'shanosom l'dorom mishum di'ein moridin b'kodesh k'diyoloth b'vayokim es ha'mishkan ves adonov. Okay, that's a sugya menachos that derives from the hakomas ha'mishkan, the halacha of ein moridin b'kodesh. Avol b'dorom k'siv adnei kosef Mishum derashoy l'shanosam litzofon demailin b'kodesh. So basically, Rabosai, what we're talking about here, whether it's the Bikurei Yaakov or it's the Meshech Chochma, is a reiteration and another, shall I say, application of the old rule, the old principle of mailin b'kodesh. The Ein Moridim B'Kodesh. Oh. But here, I don't know if you have, on the left side, you have footnotes on the Meshech Chochma. And on footnote number 3, he says, Zeh Chidush Rabbeinu Shelo Nizkar B'Yushalmi. He says that the fact that the Tzafon is more kadosh than the Dorom is the invention, so to speak, of Ramer Simcha. V'nira da mokar shetzafon kodesh yos bishundu matzinu sheshchitas kodshim kodshim b'tzad tzafon kodshim kala b'chol mokom arei chazinim t'tzafon kodosh yoser. V'tzarech bir k'tzas t'bekroi hocha nizkar atzivui al Dorom kodem tzafon. Ulam kol zeh legabei adonim, ashein kein bekroshim, ein l'shanos afilu midorom litzofon. Kidaloshin Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the kroshim on the tzofon had to remain on the tzofon, the kroshim on the dorom had to remain on the dorom. That's not what Rameir Simcha says. Rameir Simcha is saying that those that were in the dorom could be upgraded to the tzofon, up to first class. And why is that? So he wants to make a distinction between Adonim and Krushim. With regard to Adonim, that's where the Diuk of the Meshech Chochma is appropriate, that the Adnei Dorom could be upgraded to Tzafon. But with regard to the Krushim, is Ein L'shanos Afilu Midorom L'Tzafon. Mishum Dav Igzeres HaKosuv Mirechsiv Kimishpato. He's referring to Rameir Simcha. Dalzelo koyak zeres hakosuv. If he came dinam, can be alma. The Maila Mekodesh Vein Moridin. This is a beautiful Shtikl Torah here. And he's saying the following. And I think this is Rav Kuperman, if I'm not mistaken, who just passed away. He's saying, we asked the Kasha, and we asked it before on the Bikur Yaakov, if we're just applying the universal principle of Eimo Ridin Bekodesh, which the Gemara in Menachos Daf Tzadites has a source for, then what's the Chiddush of Yerushalmi in this pasuk? The answer is the following. That El Chinami, from the perspective of the Adonim, you're right, the Adonim fall under the general principle of Ma'ilim Bekodesh, V'eimo Ridin Bekodesh, and therefore the diuk of the Meshech Chachma is correct, that with regard to the Adonim in the Dorom, the Torah uses a particular language which indicates that they can become Adonim in the Tzofon, because that would be Ma'ilim Bekodesh. However, the Yerushalmi is talking about not the Adonim, but the Krushim. With regard to the Krushim, there's a separate halach of Eim L'shanos, that we don't make a change under any circumstances. Even if it means the Krushim of the Durham you want to place in the Tzofon, let's say one of the Krushim in the Tzofon breaks down and you want to replace it with one of the Krushim in the Durham, you're not allowed to do that. Not because of Ma'ilu B'Kodesh Vein Moridim, because there's a new Chiddush here, a new halacha. And that halacha of Akimosas HaMishkan Kimishpato tells you not only that the Keresh that's designated for the Tzofon has to be eternally for the Tzofon, but even that the Keresh that was placed in the Dorom has to be placed in the Dorom. And that would answer our question as to what is the big deal here in the Yerushalmi that we don't find in the universal principle of Ma'ilu Mekodesh, V'ein Moridin Mekodesh. And this reminds us, by sheer association, of what Chazal say about Aaron HaKohen. The pasuk says that Aaron HaKohen did exactly what he was commanded, and Rashi says, Malami Shaloshina. He didn't change. And Chazal tell us that the same exact way that he lit the candles in the menorah shebeichal on a daily basis, he never changed it. He was always following the seder of the very first time that he lit the candles. And that would seem to indicate that there is some sort of halacha here, and I don't know if we have any yekis here in the audience, but they would be very happy about this, that we never change the seder. Lo l'shanos has nothing to do with Ma'ilu Mekodesh, V'ein Moridin Mekodesh. And again, I would never have noticed this if not for this footnote in the Meshech Chachma, because the Meshech Chachma says explicitly that the Adonim in the Dorom can be replaced and relocated in the Tzofon. But that's against the very Yerushalmi that he started with. Keresh Tzoch Linosim Tzofon. Because that Yerushalmi, again, if we go back to the original text, and let's see if I'm right, says Bidorom Yinase Bidorom. So there's a new halach here of Lo Lishanos. And Rabosai, perhaps that would shed a light on the Shalom in the case of Tzitzis and the Magen Avraham in the case of Sukkah, where the Bikur Yaakov says that the Arizal says you don't have to be Makpid like those Shitas. But why was the Shalom so careful about seeing to it that the tzitzis that were in front should stay up front, the tzitzis in the back should stay in the back, and with regard, and the Magen Avraham, with regard to Karshei HaSukkah, he wants them to be placed in the same place they were in last time without relocating them? Why? I mean, the Bikur Yaakov is Shrine Gevalt, it's all the same Kedusha, there's no difference in the Kedusha between these tzitzis and those tzitzis, between these Krushim and those Krushim. But the answer is, I believe, to defend the Magen Avraham, the Shalom, is that what we're deriving from this Yerushalmi is halacha in Seder, Shalom L'Shanos is a Seder. Now that doesn't mean, Rabosai, that we all have to turn into, psychological, who knows a little psychology, what is called those people who, you know, they'll never step on a line. You know what I'm talking about?
Superstitious. OCD.
OCDs. Okay. We don't have to be OCD. What we're talking about is doing a mitzvah. And when you do a mitzvah, you use a chefetz shel mitzvah for that mitzvah. I'll give you an example. There's a famous tshuva, I don't think we'll get to it today, of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein about moving when you expand or renew a shul, you renovate a shul, whether you're not allowed to change the makom ha'aron. So let's say the aron was placed here, can you move it to another place? And the, if I remember correctly, the final verdict of Rav Moshe is that if there's a need to do so, do so. But if it's shelo litzarech, then keep it in the same place. I don't think he's dealing with Hilchas Kedusha Maila B'Kodesh. When you have furniture in a Beis HaKnesses, the furniture should remain exactly where it is, and you don't move it around. So if you have a bima, let's say for those, I don't know, in Clanton Park, I don't think, no, I'm not sure. Are they makpid in Clanton Park that the bima be in the middle of the shul? Not really. It's not exactly in the middle of the shul. Amongst Sephardim, and you've seen it, they're very makpid that the bima should be in the middle. That's called bima b'amtza. It's based on a sugya. And if you renovate the shul and expand it, it's low pashut that you're allowed to relocate the bima in a different place. Now, if we're on the right track, take a look at the Gemara Megillah, which is in the middle of your page 2. The Gemara Megillah says, "Im machru sefer Torah lo yikhu sfarim." This is all based, says Rashi, on the principle of Ma'ilim v'kodesh v'lo morid. So sfarim have individual sections of Tanakh, whereas the Sefer Torah has all 5 books of Moses. Is therefore Ma'ilim b'kodesh v'lo moridim b'kodesh. Now if you take a look at Rashi in Megillah Chavav, he quotes as a source a pasuk in Shmos Perek Mem, Bitzalel Asa u'Moshe shayim gadol b'menu ikimo v'lo moridim. So Bitzal actually created the Mishkan, but Moshe was the one who stood it up. That's called Ma'ilim v'lo moridim. Oh, so if that be the case, then once again, as we reiterated before, what's the chiddush of our Yerushalmi? And the answer is that our Yerushalmi is being mechadish. It didn't say there. That's irrelevant to Ma'ilim v'kodesh, v'ei moridim v'kodesh. The kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu is much greater than that of Bitzalel, and the kedusha of the Sefer Torah is much greater than the kedusha of Sfarim. And therefore, we have dinim of Ma'ilim v'kodesh v'ei moridim. But this halach of say there is specifically derived from this Yerushalmi and the pasuk of Akimosa es haMishkan kimishpata. But now I want to say something else, and this you'll see on page 7. I don't know if you have page 7, but in any event, it's a small piece. I'll read it to you. This is a sefer called the Be'er Moshe. The Be'er Moshe, who I happen to have been zochet to meet, I didn't get to know him, unfortunately, but he was a posek, and you know, people would wait online to see him in Borough Park. He was the Devetzina Rebbe. A Devetzina somewhere in Hungary. There he was Mamish and Av Bezdin, and he came here to America after the war. And his name was Rav Moshe Stern. He wrote a sefer called Be'er Moshe. And in this tshuva, which is in Chelek Hay, he wants to answer the following question: Nishalti im yesh chiyuv likshar shtei tzitzil shalafanov, the acherkach hashtei tzitzil shali achrov, o she'ein shum kpeida b'dover. So he wants to know if the halacha will require a certain seder in which we tie the two tzitzis in front first, and only afterwards in the back. And Heshavti, he answers that Yesh Halacha shall say there. say they're Neman, Likshar Shteik Sisil Slefana. And he says it applies both to a Talis Gadol and a Talis Kata. And in the context of this psak, he writes that the Magen Avraham, as we saw earlier, and the Shalah and Simon Ches, that we make an Atara from a piece of silk as a Simon that the Tzitzis at a Lefanov should always remain Lefanov. And this is based on Keresh Shezach Linasi B'Tzofon Li Olam B'Tzofon. And the question is this a reflection of the greater Kedusha of the Tzitzios Milefanov? That's why we have to give them precedence, and that's why we're not allowed to take them and put them in the back, because that would be lowering their level of Kedusha. And if that be the case, then we're back to our old question here of what was the Chiddush of the Yerushalmi. So here he comes up with a new idea. And this you'll see in Os Beis, if you want to make a note of it, maybe you'll print it out for yourselves later on. He says that if we only had the halacha of Mailin B'Kodesh, Lo matzinu din mailin b'kodesh, elok shemishtamesh bi'atzmo lidorash b'kedusha. He says, if you're using it for kedusha, then in that context, you're not allowed to be morid b'kedusha. Aval, he says, machmas shahoya eitzel o b'mokom kedusha, lo shayach b'zeh mailin b'kodesh. He says, if you're talking about a location, right, that's something different. Meaning, if the Maisa Mitzvah is done in such a way that it should be Mailin B'Kodesh, that's one thing. So, for example, you know, if you talk about what should come first, or who should come first, there's halacha of Mailin B'Kodesh. That's what he calls Mishtamesh Biatzmo Lidovar Shebikdusha. I'm trying to find here just the important words here, if I can show it to you inside, so I'm not quoting it from memory. Just 1 second.
Doesn't this mess up the whole thing we're learning from is from the Mishkan and how to erect it, which has all got to do with Makom as opposed to action.
Oh, that's exactly his point. Joe, you could have written the Tshuva of the Ber Moshe. The reason why the Yerushalmi needs this new Yalfusa is because we're not talking about the Hishtamshus B'Atzmo L'Kedusha, but rather we're talking about the Makom. That's the Gevaldige breakthrough of this Yerushalmi. That even if we're to... Oh, here it is. I finally found it. Sorry. He says, this is in the top of the middle column. He says, Be'ikar Akusha, Tepikle Mishum Mailin B'Kodesh, why does Yerushalmi need this whole derivation from Vaki Moses HaMishkan Kimishpata? Why not just apply the universal principle of Mailin B'Kodesh? He says the following, Nirolani is Daiti, Poshut, the lo matzinu din mailin b'kodesh el kshemishtamish bi atzvo l'davish b'kedusha. Awal machma shahoya eitzel o makom bim makom kedusha lo shayach inyan mailin b'kodesh. Ela, so where is it derived from? He says that they din keresh shezocha li nasein b'tzofa. So on both sides, we really have three different understandings of the Yerushalmi. Let's go over them. The first understanding of the Yerushalmi, which is that of the Bikuri Yaakov, is that the Yerushalmi is not adding anything or expanding anything. It's just repeating what we know from other sources and other derivations, that Mailin B'Kodesh Vein Moridin B'Kodesh. That's number one. Number two, we have the understanding of the Meshech Chochma, the way it's enhanced here in the footnote number 3 on your page 2, and that is that we're not dealing at all with Mailin B'Kodesh Vein Moridin B'Kodesh, because we're telling you that you're not allowed to take the Keresh Midarom and place it into the Tzafon, which would not in any way undermine its Kedusha. On the contrary, we just do the opposite. And the answer is that this halacha derived from this pasuk is Gzeiras HaKasuv, and perhaps we said that Gzeiras HaKasuv is what's teaching the halacha in Seder. And that's what we saw, for example, the Yishalmi, that there was a whole Seder about who would be Makabel Panim for the Nasi. Right? We had the Mishpachas Rav Hoshea. And we discussed the case of Aaron HaKohen, Shaloshina, that Aaron HaKohen would light the menorah in the exact same order every single day. Then we have the third approach, which is that of the Ber Moshe, that the Chiddush of the Yishalmi is there's Halacha in Makom, which means that if a Chefzah Shel Mitzvah was specified for a particular place, it somehow gets a schus for that place, and we cannot undermine it from that place. So for example, as I told you before, Rav Moshe Tshuva is wondering if we can take the Makom of the Aron and vacate the Aron as we expand the Beis HaKnesses, and now that Makom is no longer going to serve as the Makom of the Aron. And Rav Moshe says, well, if there's a tzorech, it'll beautify the Beis HaKnesses or make it more functional, there'll be more space, you know, for more pews and so forth and so on. Then and only then is he willing to allow it. So we're beginning to see various dimensions of this halacha of Kimishpata. We have dimensions that deal with Seder, and now we have dimensions that deal with Makom. And Joe, just to add one sentence before I forget, is that could now put the Magen Avraham and the Shalah in a whole new light as to why we have to be careful that the tzitzis in the front remain in the front, and that we wore the Atarah in order to, as a Simon Ledovar. We have to be careful that the crushim of the sukkah remain exactly where they were. And the question is why? I mean, if we assume, as the Bikuri Yaakov understood it, that the Kedusha of all the tzitzios is uniform, and certainly in the case of the Mechitzos, the Dofne HaSukkah, all the Dofnos share the same level of Kedusha, so what are the Magen Avraham and the Shalom, what are they batting about? And they derive from this Yushalmi explicitly. The answer is, there's Halach in Makom. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
I just... It sounds great, except for this is the first time it's written in Torah, is with regards to this. How are you making this as the Chiddush? This is before Bitzalva. This is before Aaron. This is the first time we mention it. You understand my question?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a kasha. Maybe it's a kasha. I don't know.
Okay.
Mylan Bekodesh Vein Moridin is a very serious halacha. It has to do with, you know, what you're allowed to sell and what are you allowed to do with the money that you buy. And as I told you before, Basil derives the conclusion about Holchim, Mosifim Holchim, you know, Mylan Bekodesh. And then maybe, again, if we had time, we would research and come up with myriads of halachas that are derived from Mylan Bekodesh. This halacha, the Yishalmi, is a much more humble halacha. It's very tzadua, and it's very concealed. That we, you know, if you don't know the Ma'aril and you don't know the Shalah and the Magen Avraham, you would never dream that this would ever be relevant. And it all comes down to this Yishalmi. The Yishalmi is coming over the drasha that I believe is changing our understanding, and maybe. Maybe you could say, Joe, it's almost like an expansion of the halacha of Milo Bekodesh. David?
Yeah, so the Ari doesn't hold this, obviously.
Speak a drop loud if you don't mind.
The Ari doesn't hold of this whole business.
The Ari is only of the opinion that there's Milo Bekodesh. If you can't change, if you're not changing the level of Kedusha, don't talk to me about it. You know?
Right, because he says you don't need the Atarah to tell us, right?
Yeah, he wasn't excited about an Atarah in the Talis. I don't know if the Ari wore a Talis with an Atarah, but I'll tell you one thing, David. He didn't have a gold Atarah. Not even a silver Atarah. That I can promise you.
Right. Well, Baba Trish, they still don't do it.
Okay, that's good, because they dab Nusach Ari. Why am I telling you that the Ari did not wear silver and gold on his talus? In my humble opinion, a talus is a talus. A talus is made of tzemer, and that's what it should be made of. Who wants to add gold and silver to a talus? Like, you know, my kesha, what shaykh is over here? So if you want to tell me that, all right, it was done as a simon ledavar, based on this Yerushalmi, now you want to beautify that thing because it becomes part and part of the talus. But if you're not going that way, and the Ari doesn't see any point to having a simon ledavar, and if from the Ari's perspective you want to switch the tzitzios from the front to the back and vice versa, gegez it, hey, do it for 50 million times. I don't need an atara. And then to boot, you're going to make an atara out of kesem and zav? To the point it becomes, you know, who's got the nicest talus on the block? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go into detail because I'll get into there may be sentences that come out of my mouth and they're not politically correct. You know what I'm saying? Like, I once was in Borough Park for a date. This, I'm going back a while already. And when I came in to the house to meet this young lady, they were lighting Hanukkah candles. And I have to tell you, first of all, it was the uncle, because she was not from Borough Park, so it was in the uncle's house. She was from out of town. Maybe she was Torontonian, I don't remember anymore. But the uncle was mechavid me to light the Hanukkah lech. That was a big cover, because I came out to go out with his niece. If I told you, you probably won't believe me, that I had to climb steps that were placed in front of the menorah to reach it. And if I told you that only once in my life in the old city, they have a very big menorah, did I ever see a menorah that had more silver than this one? And I walked out of there thinking to myself, you know, there's a halacha called Zeh Keli Mianvei, right? So we want to beautify a mitzvah. But I'm not 100% sure that we have to beautify the Chanukiah. Now again, they're going to put me into jail for saying this, but I'm telling you what I think is correct. The Hefta Shel Mitzvah, which requires Zeh Keli Ve'anveihu, is not the Chanukiah, it's the Shel Heves. It's the Ner itself, not what holds on to the Ner. So you want to beautify the Neros. Let's say, for example, Shemin Zayit would be, again, even there, you have to work it all out with the morals and everything else. But let's say that's a heder mitzvah. Das Hashteich. I have no problem with that, because that is the Hefta Shel Mitzvah. But does that mean that because I keep my svarim in a svarim shank, I have to spend $1 million on the svarim shank and knock your eyes out? I don't know. I'm not sure if that's Zekei Levi Aveyu. I don't know that the sperm shank, and I see this one right behind you, Joe, I don't know if that has a din of a Hefta Shel Mitzvah. Dan?
I don't understand this principle of Ma'alim Bekedusha. The walls of the Sukkah, do they have Kedusha? Can't I throw them in the garbage?
So that's a machlokes between...
If you don't have any Kedusha to start with...
So Dan, that's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. It's a sugya in Sukkah Daf Tes, where the Gemara has a drasha to compare the Sukkah to Chagiga, and there's a din of Lashem, there's a din of Kedusha. I don't remember right now, it would take me 2 minutes, but I don't want to take your time because we're already, who holds what, but let's just say the Rambam holds, the Rosh holds that din of Kedusha only applies to the Schach. And the Rambam extends it, again, it could be the other way around, to the Defanos as well. That the Din of Lashem, which equates a Sukkah to a Karban Chagiga, applies not only to the Schach, but also to the Defanos. And the Nafkamina is going to be what's called Huktzah L'mitzvaso. Let's say, for example, if you have a space between your teeth and you need a little piece of wood to knock out the particles between your teeth, are you allowed to scrape off something from the defanos of the sukkah? So if you hold that the din of Lashem is limited to the schach, then gegezut the hate. you know, the finals have no dinim whatsoever. If on the other hand you're going to extend the halach of Lashem to the Tfanos, then you're not allowed to be nene from the Tfanos.
Another question I have: how do we extend to apply the mishpato to other things based on what principle?
Well, again, the assumption here is
according on the Mishkan. How do I learn from there to anything else?
So again, the assumption here is that what the Torah is telling you here is not just in the context of a concrete example in that historical context and in that specific mitzvah. The Torah is telling you a concept. Now, what is that concept? If that concept is Ma'alim B'Kodesh, the way the Bikurei Yaakov understood it, namely that Tzofon has a din of Kedusha and it's a separate din, then Gamarnu, Fartik and Asik. You know, we can close the game here. Tam Vinishlam, you are correct, Dan. There's nothing really to be derived from this Pasuk Mishpato. It's just another application of the general principle of Ma'alim B'Kodesh. However, the Bikurei Yaakov is a little difficult because it says in the Yerushalmi that Shebidorom, you're not saying Shebidorom. Have a good day. And if that's true,
or what?
I'm just saying, why can't I take the Durham and put it in the Tzofon? If that's correct, and Bichlal, why is the Yishami quoted by the Poskim, and not only that, quoted even in scenarios where it's not a violation of Ma'alim B'Kodesh Ein Bo Ridin?
What principle of learning are we applying to learn from Mishpato to other things?
Because the assumption is that if the Torah is telling me something, then there must be a reason for it. And once that reason can be applied elsewhere, if the Torah is telling me that when you set up a Heftah Shel Mitzvah as great as the Mishkan, then you want to apply a certain say there in the way you do it, meaning even though the Mitzvah itself is really the building of the Mishkan, but it seems that setting up the Krushim is essential to building the Mishkan. I mean, you and I could have said, well, I got the menorah, and I got the Shulchan, and I got the Mizbeach, and I got the Aron, I have all that I need for the Mishkan, and that's the mitzvah. No! Those kalim, that's already a secondary mitzvah. The primary mitzvah is actually creating the structure of the Mishkan. So involved in creating a Mishkan, the Torah gives me a mitzvah, the asisi limigdash, v'shachati v'socham, and now I'm structuring the mitzvah. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah by structuring the Mishkan. And the Torah tells me, make sure that when you take apart the Mishkan and you reassemble it, you do it in exactly the same way that you did it the first time.
Right.
You know, why is the Torah telling me that? Is that just Lashah or is that Lidoros? Is that telling me some sort of principle that I should be applying Lidoros? And the fact that the Yerushalmi uses this principle to tell you why the Mishpacha of Rav Oshia retained the rights to be first in Seder of the Mekabel Pnei Anasi,
right. And
then we go on and on throughout the poskim, one after the other, we obviously conclude that this is not just a Tzivui Lashah, that the Torah was writing this in such a way that it's telling us how to extrapolate a concept that we can apply elsewhere.
But my question is it like a Binyan Av?
Yeah, like a Binyan Av.
A Limud.
even Halacha Ma'alim B'Kodesh V'lo Ma'arim B'Kodesh is derived from the building of the Mishkan. So why not say it's a separate Halacha? The answer is the Torah wants to give us hardcore cases. We are meant to extrapolate. I think we discussed this at great length. I think you may have been there. The Ramban on the Asisa of Hayoshev HaTov says that what we have to do is learn the Torah and try to derive the underlying principles from each case of the Torah and apply them elsewhere. That's the beauty of Torah.
Last question. Yeah. If it's the Mishpatoi, why is it by the Adanim I can move it to north?
Because the Adanim is nothing more than a halacha of Ma'alim B'Kodesh. That's what he says.
Why is it not? It's part of the Mishkan.
It's part of the Mishkan, but it's not part of the Krushim of the Mishkan. In other words, this halacha applies to Krushim. Now, in Krushim, there's a halacha of Seder. that the Torah tells you exactly, blow by blow, how to set up the crushing. And that halacha of seder has to be followed meticulously, but not in the case of Adon. We have to cover the challahs when we make Kiddush on Friday night. And who would think that the halacha would speak about this? And there are chakiris, and when and how, and to bring the challahs out, and you know, what about mezonos? All these different dinim that they talk about in the poskim. Who cares? Cover the head, cover the hair. But that's not the way halacha writes. You know, halacha is focused on the hair's breadth of a difference in something that you and I might think is banal and mundane. And perhaps if we were to expose the challahs when we make Kiddush, the challahs would be insulted. And maybe that's what the Chafetz Chaim tried to tell that balabas that hosted him, that insulted his wife, that, you know, why are you covering the challahs? You know, you don't deserve to cover the challahs. But I'm just saying that if the Torah is so meticulous about inanimate objects, maybe we should be sensitive for people, for human beings. That's just my own comment on this whole thing. All right then, Rabbos. Before we end, I'd like to give a shot at the Tashbeitz in a tshuva here in Chelik Beis, which you'll see on page 3. Sha'alta, Ruvein Higdish Sefer Torah Beis HaKnesset V'Nagu Zman Merubah Likros Bo. They've been reading from this Sefer Torah that was donated by Ruvein for many, many years. And Kishara Sfarim Sha'ayu Beis HaKnesset. There were other Sfarim in the shul, but that was the one that they designated for Kriyas HaTorah. Midei Shabbos b'Shabbat or every Shabbos, v'ata kom echem me'akol v'ma'akev el yodam. Now, one of the members of the community wants to give his Sefer Torah a chance. You know, actually, that was my addition. I don't know why the question here is not clear. Why is he being me'akev el yodam? Tshuva. He says, "Min adin, according to strict law, ain lo liakev bozeh. The kevod shenagu lo tzio v'zachal litol mishmarto kishar svarim v'zedin Torah." He says, "You're not allowed to change and rob the Sefer Torah of its right to be read in the Beis Hakneses v'zedin Torah, and this is a Torah law." Can Amir be Yushalmi beperek abone v'akemosa samishkan kimishpato v'chiyesh mishpat etc. lekeresh and font. Is lefichah chayirosh men akrosh kidei shelo yischalfu? This halachim shelo yischalfu. Umikan lomdu ksiva b'shabbes kimel tkeav malachas shaisa b'mishkan. Vua din bozeh shekevon shezocha sheyikru bo kishar sfarim zocha bo min adin liolam. V'chein misha huksak litlos ashishas b'beis haknesses ein l'salko michas koso. If a person has a job in the Beis HaKnesses, that's what he does, then we cannot remove him. Again, what would be if he wants to be mokal on his cover? That's something else. V'gam yesh loshuf l'pgamo shel sefer Torah. Maybe if they don't read it, people are going to be motzi laz and say it's a posel sefer. Now, if you take a look on the same page, the tshuva of the Rivash, he writes that af im lo haya morenu Rabbi Yochanan bar b'tainus aviv ayoroi morenu Rabbi Shaya lovo lios kodem lismanos mikomakom kevon. Wow. Here we have another application to this principle of the Yishalmi. That is, if a person was Noeg Besrara, he got a certain job, and we saw hints of this in the Tashbeitz with regard to the person who cleans up the shishus in the Beis HaKnesses, sets up the lights, the air conditioning. So too, in a person who is Zocha to Srara, We recognize his chazok, and he was zocher in that srara, and his source for this is our Yushalmi. And especially the part of the Yushalmi that Rav Yoshia and Ben Pazi, that Rav Yoshia has a right, again, to be the first to go out and receive the nasi. He has such a chazokah. And all this, he says, is based on Rav Ami's drasha. Like Moses, Hamishkan Kimishpato, Chiyesh Mishpat Li Eitzim, Ela Keresh the Zochel Yinasen Bitzofon Yinasen Bitzofon Bidorom Yinasen Bidorom. He also writes Shamina Mia Shemisha Hichzik Afilu Meyatzmo Beis Sraro Din Kedima. So the whole din of Sraro and the Chazakin of Sraro is derived here from this Yushalmi. Rabbo said we're beginning to see that this Yushalmi is really up front, it's really significant. I mean, in terms of jobs in the Beis HaKnesses and maybe other jobs within the community of Israel. You can't take it away. Let's say we want to upgrade to a Talmud Chacham from an Amoretz. That's already something else. I will call Shemachzibah Talmud Chacham a Mesalkinos Sa'afal Pi Shabbal and Othlo Godol Bimena. We're not going to remove from a Talmud Chacham, even a lowercase Talmud Chacham, his Sukkara, you know, his involvement in a particular responsibility, even for the sake of replacing him with a Godol Hemen. So that's what he says, called Machzibah. So even for someone who is gadol mimenu. Okay, Rav Osai, we'll stop here.